we have that blessed hope because we know that Jesus is living with those that are redeemed, those that are in the blood, precious Lamb of God. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Thessalonians. We'll be looking at chapter 4, one verse in this chapter, then we'll go farther. And thinking about the state of the world today and millions of people that are in it, for the most part, because they don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they aren't redeemed, therefore they have no hope. Isn't that a sad situation? No hope. And the thought's been so much with me here lately after the untimely death of one of our own, Lexi Moffitt. And seeing those teenagers yesterday and the night before outpouring in their love for her and support for her. Yet, Brother Philip asked in the preaching service yesterday how many people know they're redeemed, and many, many, many did not raise their hand. And unless those teenagers and others across the world do not repent, they're in that state of no hope. Let's define that word this morning. Let's let God define that word, because we look at the word hope and we make things like, boy, I hope the weather stays good. Well, it may and it may not. Or I hope I inherit $1 million. It probably won't happen. Oh, no, no, we use that word loosely, but the biblical term for that, the word hope, when you sit in the Word of God, particularly in the New Testament, it is a confidence. It's an assurance with confidence that something's going to take place. For instance, if we're saved by the grace of God and we do have an untimely death or another way of, if He comes, we have that blessed hope. It's not just maybe. It's not if the conditions are met. It's a living hope, as 1 Peter said, a lively hope. We have confidence in that. But my mind still goes back to all those people in the world. And you know many of them, and I know many of them. And if the Lord were to come, and that death of that young lady is on many of her minds. I met a young lady yesterday that had a son that graduated a year before her. And he said, and the lady said, before I went to work this morning, he told me at least 10 times, "Be careful, Mom." She said, "Why are you telling me so many times to be careful?" Because this girl over at West that I didn't hardly know, but I knew her when I saw her, she got killed, don't you remember? And so it has an effect on every one of us, that death. And thank God that she had a testimony that she was saved. And we thank God for that. But there are many, maybe someone here this morning, never surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read the text together in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we'll read a couple of verses. Let's begin with verse 11. "And that ye study to be quiet." Most of us study to be seen and heard, don't we? Well, this is a contrasting term, but I love it. "And that you stay to be quiet and do your own business and to work with your own hands as we command you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." First thing we want to look at is the assurance. You and I that are saved, we have the assurance. We have the assurance that we're going to see Jesus. In fact, when you die, if He were to come right now, we have that blessed hope, the assurance. But let's dwell on the thought for a minute of those, as the text just told us, that have no hope. Be thankful that we that are saved by the grace of God have the assurance of a blessed hope. But then he uses the term, "even as others which have no hope." Can you imagine all the thousands and thousands, and you probably know yourself hundreds, and I probably know hundreds, that if the Lord were to come, and He is coming, and we don't know when, or if they were to die, and they will die. Think of that word. No hope. No confidence. Absolutely no assurance of a place called heaven. And as soon as they'd be snatched out of this life, they would go. There's only two places to go. Either we go to that blessed abode where Jesus is, where we'll live forever and ever, and we'll have the blessed hope of seeing the loved ones that's passed on before us that were saved. And all those others that have no hope, many of them you and I know, we need to be praying for them. They have no assurance whatsoever that they're going to have anything except damnation, hell, burning, and the fire will not be quenched. Let's let that dwell on their mind this morning. We're going to dwell mostly this morning of a rejoicing we can have because we do have the assurance of that hope. But in the back of their mind, or maybe in the forefront of their mind, be praying for those people that have no hope. They could have hope. Jesus died for the sins of the world. They have a head knowledge, many of them, that Jesus is Lord. But for whatever reason, they have never bowed their knees. They have never confessed to Lord Jesus Christ that they're sinners. And that's the only way you can get saved is to come say, Lord, without you, I have no hope. But I do have the ability to have you, and I can have the assurance that if I bow and confess, and I come your way, and I ask your forgiveness, and you will let that precious blood that you shed at Calvary, that's on the mercy seat of heaven, be spiritually applied to my life, my heart, to get rid of all the sin questions. The same time, rather, name the Lamb's Book of Life, and instantly we go from no hope to the assurance of hope in Christ Jesus. Let's dwell on that thought this morning about the blessed hope. And then let's turn your Bibles over as we'll just keep turning the precious Word of God and turn over past Thessalonians and you come to the book of Timothy. First Timothy has much to say about hope. Now we look first of all at the subject that there is no hope and absolutely no hope or the absence of hope. That's an awful term. We have the absence of a lot of things. You and I, they're a little bit older. We've lived with the absence of being able to get gasoline when you needed it. Remember the long gas line? I even remember, and some of you people remember, there was an absence of being able to get coffee or things or sugar. I mean, there's been shortages. But the absence of hope is the most awful thing I can ever think of. I think the two worst words in the English language that really stirs my heart is to hear that term, no hope. Absolutely the absence of hope. But then, as we talked before, 1 Timothy will give us another scripture of the assurance of hope. Look what he says in the very first verse, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Now you see, if I have hope in anything else, it's really an absence of hope because it's not steadfast. But our hope is in Jesus Christ, our Savior. And that is the absolutely confidence that when we depart this life, not only that we have the assurance of salvation, but we have the assurance that He'll be with us. When we go through valleys, when we go through hardships, when we go through anything abnormal or that's not with the norm, we have the ability to call on His name. Because not only is He our Savior that died for us, and we have the hope of eternal salvation, but we have a hope of being able to be picked up by Him. Because we go through a lot of the hardships that our neighbors can't do anything to help. I love my children, but there's things I can't do to help. And my father and my mother love me, but they could not save me. But they could point me to Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God, which they did. by taking me to church, and the Holy Spirit took over then. The Holy Spirit came and illuminated my mind, showed me that I was lost. See, if you raise your children in the house of God, then let them hear the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit do the work that only He can do, then we have the ability of putting our hope and trust in Jesus Christ. There won't be an absence of hope. There will be an assurance of hope. Our hope is in Christ Jesus. But as we turn farther, we can not only see the assurance of hope. Let's turn our Bibles just a little bit farther, and we'll see that God has some other wonderful things for us. And let's turn the Bibles to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews. So that hope you're talking about, not the absence of hope, but the assurance of hope, we've already heard and read that it is anchored in Christ Jesus. Let's read this verse of Scripture, but it's going to help us understand that anchor is sure and steadfast. A lot of anchors in the storm may move because of the rope could break. But we are anchored in something steadfast and secure. Look at Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. We have not the absence of hope, but the assurance of hope. It's based on Jesus Christ shed blood and the confidence we have in the Word of God that when we trust Him and the Holy Spirit illuminates your mind and He does the conversion for us, we don't have the ability to do anything except cry for mercy of God. And when we cry for the mercy of God, and we cry for salvation, then He is sure and steadfast. And the Scripture says, we two immutable things in which it's impossible for God to lie. See, God has a word, and God has always done right. He's doing right, and He will do right. And He has told us that if we trust in Him, put our faith in Him. The word hope and faith are synonymous almost, because that hope is given us by the faith in the Word of God. And God cannot lie, and He has promised us. Look what the verse said. It was impossible for God. We might have a strong consolation, a security, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. See, our refuge is in Christ Jesus. We were sinners, sinking in sin, and far from the peaceful shore, the songwriter said. But Christ Jesus saw us ahead of time before we ever got here, and He was willing, and He did go to Calvary, the old rugged cross. He bled and died for His sins. He shed that royal blood, that holy blood. He took it God's mercy seat, and now God the Father is looking down at you and I, and if He bled the blood on your life and He's been applied to your life, then when we sin, and we do, we come short. But then we pray to Christ Jesus and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm still in the flesh. Don't make too many excuses, God. Don't let us get by with those. But we do sin. We fall short. Not purposefully, but we do. And when we sin, we come and say, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. And Christ Jesus goes to the Father right by His side. And then God is looking at you and I through the blood. And He sees Christ Jesus in us, the hope of glory. That's our refuge. Not only a refuge from the sinking sands and a refuge that we don't have to go to hell, but a refuge that God will let everything in our lives be profitable for others to see Christ Jesus in us and always be willing to stand up and give a testimony that Christ Jesus is the hope of glory. It's not our good works. It's nothing that we could do. It's all through the blood of Jesus. But then look at that next verse in verse 19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. We're not worried about all the things that happen worldly. You better not be, because it'd drive you crazy. You have to go to an asylum somewhere. There's so much going on. But see, we're not driven by the winds of doctrines of the world. We're not driven by what the liberals say or trying to change your constitution or saying the Word of God is old-fashioned. Sure it is. But I love the verse of Scripture that says, walk in the old paths, and there you shall find rest for your soul. Didn't think a thing about new paths. There's an old path, and the old pathway is Calvary, the old rugged cross, one landmark between earth and heaven, and thereby we get the door. The anchor is the cross of Jesus Christ, where he shed his blood. But it's not still there. He took it to heaven. And there God approved it because he is the sinless one. The one, the blood of Jesus Christ, the life is in the blood. And there's no forgiveness unless it's through the blood of Jesus Christ. But there must be an application of that blood. And once the application is by the Holy Spirit, apply that blood to their life, then he anchors us. And we're no longer moved in this world by different ideas. And we're no longer moved by what others think or do or what the world does. It doesn't matter. We have an anchor. The Scripture just told us which hope we have as an anchor, a sure and steadfast anchor that will not be moved, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Back in the economy before Christ Jesus came, they had to kill goats and they had to kill bullocks and they had to bring in sprinkle of blood. That was a type of the blood of Jesus Christ that would one day and has happened and occurred for the forgiveness of all sins. But now we just come to Jesus and ask for mercy and ask for the salvation that he wonderfully wrought at Calvary. That he is willing. It's not his will that any should perish. There's enough power in the blood of Jesus to save every soul that's ever been born or ever will be born. There's not a question of that. The question is, will people receive? Will they accept? Will they allow? Can they have the assurance? Can they have the ability? Of course they can. The Holy Spirit takes care of that. We preach the Word of God. We don't save people. The Word of God convicts people of their sins. And what they do with it, we pray that they will heed and they will have the assurance also and they will have the ability to say, Christ, I want you as my anchor, an anchor of a soul, both sure and steadfast. You won't find anything else in the world today that I've ever read of that's sure and steadfast. Wall Street isn't. The economy of the world isn't. The rulers of countries are not sure and steadfast. The only thing that's sure and steadfast in the world today, and you can have it, is atonement through the precious blood of Jesus, an anchor of the soul that will get you from this place to a place called heaven. And you can have that blessed hope, a confidence that's anchored in Christ Jesus. Now that we have it, let's go a step farther. What do we do with it? We're here. We're going to heaven. Praise God for that. Yes, we're going to heaven, but at the same time, many others aren't. So what are you and I supposed to do? What is our responsibility as we're in this life? Well, there's an answer for it in the Word of God in 1 Peter. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. The answer. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, and through obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He talks about all those other countries. But he talks about every individual that wants to go to heaven through sanctification of the Spirit of God, through the precious blood, through sanctification of the Spirit, and through obedience and the sprinkling of blood. See, the Holy Spirit is delivering the message to every lost person. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. He was lifted up on the cross, Calvary. He went to the grave. He was lifted up from death. And he was lifted up. And today you and I are to lift him up. We're to preach the word of God. We're to tell others. It's not your good works. It's not a religion. It's not church membership. It's through the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus, which is sure and steadfast, an anchor of your soul. And Christ Jesus has made all the preparation. And all we have to do is come to him. So he says in verse 3 again, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? No, you can't, nor can I. God, you know how you love your children, and how I love mine, and you know how you love your grandchildren. And we even love other people's children and grandchildren. And would it be possible for any of us to love others so much that we could say, here's my child. Take my child and let him die so your child may live. That'd be hard to do. But God the Father had one son, Christ Jesus. And he loved us so much, he was willing to let him be bruised. The Bible says it pleased the Father to let him be bruised. Why would God allow and be pleased to let Jesus Christ be bruised? Because the only hope and the only security and the only way you and I could get to heaven, anybody, is if Jesus Christ would leave. So no wonder he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ that loved us enough to be willing to send his own precious son, which according to the abundant mercy, God has mercy. Can you imagine that abundant mercy that he has on every one of us, that he would send his son into the world? And thereby he has begotten us into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's our security. That's our anchor. That's our assurance that Christ Jesus did arise from the dead. And the blood is on the mercy seat. And the blood can be sprinkled on your heart and mind when we accept his terms and accept his forgiveness and be willing to ask his forgiveness. But he continues. Look at verse 21. Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. The hope we have is in God that gave his son, and he applied that blood to my heart, and he gave me that hope. And he said it's a lively hope, a living hope, one that never dies, one that's sure and steadfast, an anchor for the soul, the assurance that we will meet Jesus and we'll be able to give him praise and honor and glory for all he's done. But let's continue now. What's our answer supposed to be in this life? 1 Peter 3:15. And we'll be closing. Yes, we're here. We have salvation if you're saved. If you're saved, you don't have to worry about losing it because you don't even keep it. You lose it. God knew you would. So 1 Peter says, our salvation is kept by the power of God, reserved in heaven for you. You see, it's more sure than anything you could have, because you and I have to be responsible for keeping it. Then we'd have to have all these rules. But our salvation, once you have it, is in heaven. And there's no worry whatsoever of thieves or anything else getting there to destroy it. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He wrote it there. Nothing can blot it out. That's my hope. My steadfast hope, the assurance of my hope in Christ Jesus. Why? Because God cannot lie. And that's what he said But here is our answer now, what we have to do. 3:15, 1 Peter. But sanctify God, the Lord God, in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I have tried my best by the Lord's help to give you an answer of my hope. And he says every one of us is responsible for giving everyone else an answer. How come you're saved by the grace of God? How come you have that hope? Give an answer. The Word of God has already told us. And many people out there are lost. They do not have the assurance that we do. There is an absence of hope in their life. There is no hope. But they see you. And they see me. And we're in the house of God. And they knew we were coming. We're always here. And they see your car's not in the driveway this morning. If it is, they might check on you because you'd be sick. Why? Because we're worshiping the God of glory and giving him praise and honor for the blessed hope he has. So look at the verse one more time. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. A lot of people you and I know come in contact with every day, relatives and friends, and they're looking at you, and they themselves, without Jesus, have no hope. There's an absence of hope in their life. I can't think of anything worse. It would be better to have to be saved and have a heart attack and go on to glory. It'd be better to be saved and have a wreck and go on to glory. It'd be better than anything. The worst thing in the world is the absence of hope. But they're looking at you. We're their friends. And if you're really their friend, and this is a good way to tell, we'll be ready to give an answer and to show them through our life, through our living, through our testimony, that our hope is in Christ Jesus. That's why we can smile when Wall Street collapsed. That's why we can smile when we have heartaches and we have disappointments and we're sick and we've got cancer and we have all these other things. We have a hope. It's anchored in Christ Jesus. Sure and steadfast. An assurance of hope. There's no absence whatsoever. And we're to give an answer to all those people that we meet, that you can have that hope also through Christ Jesus. He's merciful. Be willing to bow. Be willing to just say, God, I need your help. I'm lost. That's all you have to do. There's a song that I love so much. The song was written in 1834 by Edward Moat. My hope is built. Listen to the words of this beautiful song. It's been a long time ago. Still a song of praise. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his amazing grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Would you stand this morning? But the question is, are you anchored in Christ Jesus? If you are,
you have an assurance of that blessed hope. If you aren't, altar is open. God sees your heart. He knows everything about you. Brother Randy, is that song in their songbook? Let's just sing that beautiful song. Even though that song was written back in the 1800s, thank God we still have a copy. Songs like that don't get old. They give us the assurance of that blessed hope. A song that is based upon the Word of God sticks to you. It's better than a vice grip flares. It just anchors in your soul and lets us know that we are redeemed. And all else may fail around us. Our salvation is steadfast and secure if you have it. If you don't have it, you have no assurance and no hope. But you don't have to stay that way. Please come. Let God deal with your heart and save you this morning.